a phone call a couple of days ago from my friend. We are in an organization called Stop Demand. It's an organization that tackles things like sex trafficking and prostitution. Basically, it tackles the whole area of exploitation of women sexually and children sexually. If you get an opportunity to go online and have a look at it, I encourage you, stopdemand.org.nz. And a little while back, I was asked to come onto that board, and we've got our AGM coming up in June. And my friend rang up to see if I was going to be available for the AGM, and she asked me some questions about what have you been up to. And I said, I was trying to think about some of the things I've been involved in, and I started to tell her about growing potatoes. And she says, oh, for a minute there, I thought you were going to say growing good men. And it kind of convicted me a little bit. And it was almost like a prophetic thing. But I do believe that is, in fact, what God is doing in the church at this time, growing good men, sons, fathers, you know, uncles, cousins, brothers, together growing us as a brotherhood. In 1 Chronicles, I've been reading through 1 Chronicles, and there's lots of genealogies in there. And one of the phrases that gets repeated quite often is, they were mighty men of valor, every one of them fit for battle. And that's what God is doing amongst the brotherhood and the sisterhood. And the encounter is all part of that, all part of our preparation, all part of our development. And so I'm very encouraged. In Judges chapter 2, if you want to turn there. There's a few things I want to share in there. As we talk about vision, we had a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit last night. Yeah. Well, some of us were all splattered on the floor, and others were in other kind of various states of drunkenness. We even had a water bomb fight. Not literal water bombs. You go, what? Well, not a high, but if you can imagine the Holy Spirit being poured into a water bomb, and that water bomb getting bigger and bigger and bigger till it almost pops, and then you tie it, and then you go, psh. Or you go, psh, all over people. And so we had a water bomb fight, and it was quite ridiculous. If you were watching us, you'd say, these guys are high, drunk. And it got quite messy. People were crying on the floor and laughing on the floor, and it was great. It was great. Oh, great. Better, you know, no hangover in the morning. Fantastic. And, you know, so sometimes we can think, oh, that was just for that special moment in camp. No, you know, the Holy Spirit's available to us all the time. And we just recall those moments, and the power of God can come upon you, and before you know it, you're drunk ass. Judges chapter 2. I heard Doug preached a good message last Sunday. Yeah. Well, a couple of you thought it was good. Okay. Yeah. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, when all that generation had gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done in Israel. Father, we thank you today for vision, that when you pour out your spirit, you give the young men visions, you give the old men dreams. Lord, you give vision to your people. Lord, men and women, we thank you today, Lord, for an impartation of vision that comes from you. Lord, we thank you for an intergenerational blessing. Lord, that what you've begun in our lives, Lord, will continue to our children and to our children's children, and right down through the generations, the blessing of God increasing and not decreasing. Father, we thank you for cycles being broken, Lord, negative things being broken, Lord, that have come tried to come down through our generations and new cycles of blessings being established. Lord, we thank you for the vision of God, Lord, being established here in Kaikohikohi and traveling and dispersing and growing throughout the whole of our region, through our motu, through the nations of the world. Lord, plant vision into our hearts today. Plant vision. Praise you, Jesus. That's the word that just kept on coming over to me over and over again last night when we were in the Holy Spirit, was vision, vision, vision. And I wasn't sure whether God was going to give us like visions right there in that meeting or not, but I'm sure today he's going to do something in your life to give you a vision of what he has for you and your role to play in the vision of God. See, what had happened here in Judges chapter 2, if you read the background to it, Joshua and all those guys that had gone into the land that God had given them, that had some victories, that seen the hand of the Lord move powerfully in them. And then after Joshua died, those other elders around him fell asleep, which can mean died, but they literally also fell asleep in the sense that they did not pass the vision on to the next generation. And a whole bunch of children grew up not knowing the Lord, not knowing the vision. And as we read further into that, the old cycles start again. And they get back into bondage. So that's not what we're about, amen? We're about what God has started in our life, it being continued. I was encouraged. There was a couple of father and son teams out there in the weekend, Kerry and Shane and myself and Josiah. And other times, you know, we've had David and George out there and different father-son combos. And, you know, it's great seeing what's happening. You know, there's some grandchildren here in the house and all that kind of stuff. And mother-daughter things going on and daughter-in-laws and in the woman's work. And that's what it's about, passing the vision on. Now, sometimes we talk about this thing called the government of 12, the G12. When you see the word 12 in the scriptures, it talks about government, it talks about rulership. 12 oxen in the temple carrying the water basin, but even probably more relevant is the 12 disciples, the 12 followers of Christ. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning in terms of vision. I want to encourage us to see the world through the eyes of God. Like how Abraham, remember Abraham? God took him out. He said to him, Abraham, look at the stars. Count them if you can. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4. And he said, see the stars? As many as those stars are in the skies, that's how many descendants you're going to have, Abraham. He was giving him a vision of multiplication and increase. Because at that stage, Abraham had no children at all. And he's saying, that's the vision, Abraham. Another time he said, your descendants are going to be like the sand, the grains of sand, giving him a vision. Another time he says, come out. He says, look to the east, Abraham. Look to the west. Look to the south and look to the north. As far as you can see, that's the territory I'm giving you. He was implanting a big vision into Abraham. And I want to encourage you today to allow the Lord to plant a big vision into you, into us. For our world, for our community, for the transformation of Kaikohe through the power of the gospel, for the transformation of your family, for the generations. You know, there's been times in my life where I've set my goals low. You know, like with my children, I was just a young fella, just a kid myself, got married, and my goal was to not hurt my children. You know, what a low goal. It was a good goal, better than hurting them. But, hey, you know, I'm going to try not to hurt my kids. That was my goal, pretty low goal. But, you know, for a young man who didn't know much, that was a starter. But then having to raise my vision, you know, having a bigger vision for my children and for my family. God wants to raise your vision today and plant his vision and see our community transformed. You know, let me say this. There's churches around, and I don't want to be critical of them, who have no vision for their community, no vision for changing the world. Their vision is they're going to hang on tight until Jesus comes back, and the world is going to get worse and worse and worse, and then one day Jesus is going to come back and take us out of here. That's not the vision of this church. Amen? Amen. This, our vision is to see the gospel of the kingdom influence our community and change it to be the salt and the light. This is the vision of the G12, is to get an expanded vision like Abraham had, like Jacob had, and to receive the anointing of multiplication upon our lives, to receive a revelation to succeed. I know not everybody's called to go to university, but I want to encourage our young people, lift your vision, set your vision high. Hats off to my daughter-in-law, going back to university, going back to school and training. Some of you other adults, you're going back into training. You know, it's not for everybody. I'm not saying that we all have to go to university and all that kind of stuff. We're not, but don't, you know, let's have a vision to be successful. Let's have a vision to break through barriers that our family may not have broken through before. To not be stuck in the same kind of cycles and ruts that our families have been in. Some of us need to get a vision to own our own house. That's a major breakthrough for you financially, that you have something when you die, because you will die. You have an inheritance to pass on. If you're just renting, when you die, well, you've got nothing to pass on. No disrespect to you if you're renting. But lift your vision. Lift your vision. A vision for success. A vision to break through. A vision for multiplication. The vision is for everybody in this church to be fruitful. Every single one of us to be fruitful in God in all kinds of different ways. A vision for growth. Star, good on you, Star. Star said to me, so what's happened to the 2020 vision? And he remembered that me preaching ages ago about it. By 2020, we're going to have 1,000 people in the congregation. Now that's just around the corner, and it and at this rate, it's all bar a miraculous move of the Spirit of God, we may not actually get 1,000 people by 2020. It's possible that we may only get 990 something. You know, we might fall a little bit short, but nevertheless, you know, to have a vision for multiplication and success. I said to Star, if everybody that would run to the Lord and got connected to the church stayed in the church, we'd be getting close to 1,000. But people do what they do. But a growth that's, we have a vision that's multi-generational. You know, there's some churches in our town, and please hear me, I'm not criticizing other churches. But there's some churches, and one church in particular that I'm thinking of, I think it's got 6 old Pākehās left in it. Yeah. You know? No vision. There hasn't been that intergenerational thing going on. And how sad would it be that if in 50 years from now, there's just Monty, you might be gone, Monty, in 50 years. But you know what I'm saying, eh? 50, how old are you now? Oh no, he'll only be 100 and something, yeah. He'll still be kicking in there, eh? Yeah. That's right, your dad was, yeah. There you go. Now, Monty, wouldn't it be sad if it was just, you know, a couple of old fellas talking about the good old days. Now we're going to have a multi-generational. I love it that we've got these mokopunas and all that running around causing disruption. You know, it's great. The scripture says a clean stable is an empty stable. You know, when there's, people make mess. It's messy having church people. That's what it's about, multi-generational. I love what you young guys are doing. Sai, Komani, Keish, I always forget your name, Keisha, Kelsey, Elsie, Sarah, and the other one, Shane. Yeah, what you're doing with the young people and the report, you know, telling us that's multi-generational, reaching another generation for Jesus, you know. Love it, love it. Love what they're doing out there in the Christ right now. Love what's going on. That multi-generational vision. And we want to keep the vision plain and simple, not complicated. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2 says, write down the vision, make it plain so he who can see it can run with it. A clear, uncomplicated vision. Make the process doable. So, you know, I want to talk just a bit more about that. What we're talking here about is raising up leadership. Not everything just revolving around Allison and Mike. That would be dumb. We're going to Philippines in July. We're participating in an Asia conference over there. All our pastors from Africa and Pakistan and Myanmar, they're coming into Philippines, and we're going to be spending a couple of weeks over there. But after that, we're going up into Turkey, me and her. We're going to a place called Trabzon, which is up on the Black Sea coast. If you don't know, Turkey is a 99% Islamic country. We're going up there to have a holiday. But the other thing we're going to be doing is we're going to be praying about what God wants to do in Turkey and whether he wants us to help establish a church in Trabzon City. And so that's what we're doing. We're just going to go up, pray, seek the Lord, see what he wants to do. Worst case scenario, we'll have a good holiday. Best case scenario, we'll have a good holiday and also make some divine connections and help. Because my cousin's been living there for 15 years, and he says that something really interesting is happening, that Islamic people are walking in off the street, coming into the church and asking questions about Jesus. What is this? You know, so something spiritual is happening in their country. Even though the powers of darkness have tried to stop them from coming to know the Lord, nevertheless, God is breaking through, and Islamic people are turning to Christ. So we're going there, we're going to pray, and I want you to pray for us too, that who knows, you know, we may end up being part of establishing a Christian work in a nation that is very strategic, because it's in between Europe and the Middle East. So they got European thinking, but they also got Middle Eastern thinking. And if we want to reach the Islamic nations for Jesus Christ, those Turkish guys are well positioned to bring the gospel into Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, all those, Saudi Arabia. They're well positioned because they've got Western thinking coupled with they know the Arabic language and they know the Middle Eastern culture. So God has a plan for that nation. It just takes a couple of crazy Kiwis to go up there and light a little bit of a fire, and then take off. Man, now we're going to support them, yeah. So what that means is, me and Allison are going to be out of the church for a whole month at least, right? So if you're going to have a crisis, have it that month. Yeah, if you need some marriage counseling or something, or, you know, the kids are going crazy, you know, try and time it for July. And get it all fixed up before we get back. All right? But what it means is, God is doing something, changing something with us. Kaikohe is always going to be our home. We love this place. And I've said it before, when I drive up Guy Road and I drive past the cemetery, I look over towards Josiah's farm where he is, but also I look towards the right-hand side where the cemetery is, and I always look at those totara trees, and I think, yeah, I think I want to be buried over there, all right? Okay, so we're not planning on shifting. You know, we may even go and reserve a plot for us before the Selinskis go and buy them. You got one? Okay, so there you go, you know. What's the real estate like on? So what I'm saying is our heart is in this place, me and her. Our heart is here, but God is changing something. He's giving us this thing to travel and to encourage the believers in other nations, and where it's tough going. So, but what is happening, what I'm mostly encouraged about in the church is the leaders that God is raising up here. That's what I'm mostly encouraged with. And what we're doing, like some churches, you know, you get a badge and you become an elder or a deacon of this. And some churches, they've got so many deacons, I call them deacon possessed, you know. And everybody's running around and they all think they're a leader and all that. But what in here, the leaders are those who are leading, those who are doing something. I want some leaders to come out the front here this morning. And when I say your name, stand up and come out the front. Monty, Doug, George, Ivan, Terangi, Ross. Is Ross here? Okay, cross him off. Sai Michael, yeah. Komani, Josiah, Brian. Come on this side, come on this side. Yeah, yeah. And I want these leaders to please stand up. Allison, Gail, over this thing. Roylina, Bev, Dorothy, Roz, Dawn, Talia, Paula, this list is longer. Veronica, Sarah, and Michelle, hey. She's on Tulsa's Church. These are our leadership team in the church, and we also have many, we would call them ministry of helps, behind the scenes, ministering and doing wonderful things in behind the scenes, serving, which we really appreciate. But these are our leadership, this is our leadership group here, right? Okay, so every one of these ones here is a minister within their own right. Now, some of them are a bit scruffy, and some of them have some faults, all right? But they're a work in progress, and this is all about the vision. This is what I'm most excited about. You know, I'm excited about the woman of God and the men of God that God is raising up in this place, and this is the vision. It's not a one-man band team thing, and these you guys are growing. You're taking ground, and I just want to thank God for you. Thank the Lord for this team. You may sit down. So there'll be times, church, when I may ask these men and women to visit you, to encourage you, to check up on you, or whatever, or to straighten you out if you need straightening out. To encourage you, and well, there'll be times when they come up and they pray for you and pray with you, and so be encouraged in that. But we're not going to limit it. We're not going to limit it to that group of people. This is not a closed group. This is not like, oh, that's the chosen ones, you know, and you rest of you missed out. No. You know, not everybody is called in the sense of leadership of leading people and up the front, but we're all called to be a leader at some measure, some level. And the first one we're called to lead, of course, is ourselves. That's the hardest one. Who's found that? Man, if I only get myself under control, you know, then I can start working on Allison. Yeah, but try and control her. But the hardest one I found to control is myself, especially when no one else is looking. It's just me, you know, just me. That's you. But the self-control is the number one thing, leading yourself. Focus on that, and then you grow in your leadership. But the reality is that everybody can be involved in discipleship. Jesus said this in Matthew 28, verse 18 through to 20, and it's one of the pillars of this church. He said, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And every one of us, that person sitting next to you, and you can be a disciple of Jesus Christ and you can make a disciple of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us. Turn to that person next to you, please, because they might have some doubts about this, and say, this includes you. Yeah. Now, we don't make a big deal about it. We don't like, you know, or sensei, you know. We don't start like, I'm now your guru, you know. You don't turn to your sister Tui and say, I'm your guru now, Ruth. You got to listen to me. You're my disciple, okay. You know, some people, you always get someone that goes overboard with the stuff, eh? You know, oh, pastor, what color shirt shall I buy? Oh, you know, it's just, you go see. People always take things too far. But that discipleship, everybody is called to minister. Amen? Amen. Now, the word minister, I'm glad you all said amen. Trick question, not really. The word minister just means serve. Yeah, so we're all called to serve. Everybody's called to be a minister. Yeah, so we're all called to serve one another, yeah. And that's what minister means, to serve. We're all called to minister. Some of you have a strong gift of serving, and we really appreciate that. You know, you're not the upfront people and all that kind of stuff, but you know, I'm thinking of guys like Tony, man, he just cooked for us or looked after us, yeah. And But I'm probably not going to let him preach. Because it's his gifting, you know? His gifting. You probably don't want me to cook. Amen? Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Now, does that mean I'm better than him? No. That means he's better than me? But no, it's the giftings that we have, and we need to appreciate. We appreciate those giftings. And so we want to activate those giftings and get those giftings going in each other. Everybody can win souls. Everybody is a soul winner. Every single one of us can lead another person to Christ. And if you're not sure how to do that, we can teach you how to do that. And everyone, that's what we're talking about here. So we're talking here too about our connect groups. Growing and multiplying, and it's not that easy, those of you who are leading connect groups, but we've got a few in town, and Tarangi and Veronica's is at this stage the only mixed one, men and women, but the 412, there's male and female, boys and girls together, yeah, and because, you know, many of us, you know, it's just a man, just a woman, there's a reason for that. But the vision is to have a connect group on every street in Kaikohe, on every single street, in our schools, in our marais, workplaces, Taco Bay, wherever you're outlying, or Hawaii, you know, your outlying, we can't really call them suburb towns, villages, kainga, to have a connect group, to have a lighthouse. You say, well, how big does it have to be? Jesus said, we're two or more of you. Gather together. There I am in the midst of you. So if, you know, like for how many weeks, Alistair? It's just been me and Alistair. Do we get discouraged? No. We get encouraged. We get together. We pray. We build each other up on the Lord, and we're looking to grow and invite people along and stuff like that. You know, so two or three, you know, is a connect group. If you're by yourself, that's not a group, right? Yeah. That's not a group, you're just at home by yourself. So the idea is to begin to raise up in the context of that connect group. It's about reaching the lost. And our connect groups have an emphasis on reaching the lost. Now, some of you Bible teachers want to do Bible teaching and all that. That's all good, but that's not the primary purpose of your connect group. The primary purpose of your connect group is to reach the lost and bring them into the kingdom of God. Just like a farmer bringing the harvest into the barn, like a fisherman going out and fishing in the sea. And we all throw the net out together. And we all pull the net in together. There's something for us all to do in reaching the lost in our connect group. If your connect group starts to degenerate into a Bible study, you're not running with the vision. You're on your own buzz. Unless we've set up that group for a Bible study, like a new believers class. If it's a specific class for a specific purpose, kei te pai. But if you start getting all kind of into, of course we want the Bible, but we don't want it to be a Bible study where Christians sit around and study the Word of God, listening, connect group leaders. We want it to be always focused on the lost. And at any time when an unbeliever or a new believer comes into your group, right, change the program. Today, Komani's going to share his testimony about how he came to know Christ. He explained his testimony, and then you'll give that person an opportunity to receive Christ. You don't sit there and listen to your lesson on tithing, you know, that new believer. You put that lesson on tithing aside, and it becomes evangelism. Maramatanga, everybody's clear? We're talking here about a clear vision, clear understanding of where we're heading. We're talking about building relationships. Obviously, our relationship with God is first and foremost, but also we need to build those relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is not a strong point of mine, building relationships. My personality type is, functional. I only like to know people if we're working together doing something, to achieve something. Now, that's just my personality type. But we need to break through all that and actually start relating to one another and building friendships with one another, because that's important, connecting with one another. You know, I have to get over myself. I think they're so boring. I'm like, what are we going to do? Oh, we're just going to relate together. Oh. Yeah, no, we're going to, but I, here, you know, I don't have any friends. All right, just Allison. And I got some mates, but I'm not like, you know, I'm going to be your best buddy. You know, nah. True confessions coming out. I don't care about your birthday, you know. Some people, they... Yeah. Anybody here? Has anybody ever got a birthday cake from me? Only Star, because you're my favorite, son. Yeah.
What's for lunch?
So don't be offended if I don't like your post. I'm getting a little bit off track here. What we're talking about here is building relationships, making effort to connect with people. Someone else can take that session about doing that, you know, how to connect with people and relate. He who has friends must be friendly, Scripture says. So we're going to do discipleship training in and with the Word of God is essential. As we submit ourselves and be molded and shaped into leaders, that means sometimes, you know, people will correct you. And nobody really likes that very much. But that's okay. That's a thing of love. Leadership development. So we're going to develop our leaders and develop them to be able to lead and mentor 12 others to do the same. It's not as easy as it sounds, but that's the objective. The result is having not just leaders, but leaders who can lead others and multiply and grow. Bring others into the kingdom of God. Multiplication. So we can send more people out into the harvest field. So we can send teams out to Katikati and all over the place, onto the marae, wherever we need to go. So a basic strategy is win, consolidate, disciple, send. What is it? Yes, you got it. So winning is saving the lost, connecting them to Jesus Christ. So on Friday night, one of the things we did is we made sure everybody was saved. We had a couple of guys there that were young, you know, unsaved perhaps even as they came in, but we got that straightened out for them. So how do we do that? We can invite unbelievers to church services. We can invite our unbelievers to our NET meetings. What's a NET meeting? Like last Wednesday of this month, all the brothers are coming here. That's our NET meeting. You can bring unsaved friends to that meeting, your brothers, and say, come along to our meeting, and we'll hit some issues that relate to men, but there'll be an invitation for people to give their life to Christ. That's throwing the net out. Woman, you can do the same with your sisterhood things, and youth, you're doing the same too. Invite people to the outreaches. Our meetings are not just for fellowship and socialize, not just Bible studies or lectures, but we're ready to share the love of God with unbelievers at any time, any place, wherever and whenever there is a need. Tony came to the Lord in my house. Where's Tony? Right there. Tony came to the Lord. Peter came to the Lord right in my house. Brian was telling him about his whānau. They come to the Lord the other day in the house, eh? Yep, so you know we can be leading people to Christ right there. Consolidate them into the church. I don't think I need to talk about that. I think I need to try and discipline myself to preach for half an hour. That'll be a miracle. Get them along to the encounter. I want to talk just, maybe I'll just talk about in our connect groups, begin, if you haven't begun, your post-encounter studies, learning and teaching how to continue to walk in your healing, to continue to walk in your deliverance. I was talking to one of the young men who had a powerful touch from God, but he's aware from the past that the flesh, comes in straight away. And suggestions from the devil about going back to the old. So we're going to hold our ground. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to stick together and be prepared to face those tests and those attacks. Know how to relate to our unbelieving family and friends. But the other thing that we want to do is start the School of Leaders here. We started in August. It'll be on a Sunday morning at 9 a.m. just for 1 hour. And there'll be a crèche available. We're also going to be running some training program for the children. And if I can remember correctly, that's for age 5 to 12. Some training for start training them. And we'll see if we can also get some stuff that's specific for the teenagers. But it may be that they just come in with the adults anyway. And some School of Leaders stuff. Foundational truths and doctrines, getting all that straightened out, getting our connect leadership strategies. Tarangi has mentioned going to the marae in December. At this stage, we're going to get some structure around this, work out what we're going to target there, but a re-encounter where we come back together, some wahine things, some tāne things, and some combined things together. But what I'm saying is there's a track. There's a track. We don't want you can